Have you ever seen someone living an amazing life and thought to yourself, how'd they get so lucky? If you are not currently living a life that's on your terms, a life by your design, then this podcast series is for you. This is the More Confidence with Luna Guy podcast. And in this special season, I'm going to be interviewing people who are living a life by design, living a life on their terms. And I'm going to find out once and for all if it is just luck. Or there's something more going on. Let's dive in. Claire, you are a woman who has, over the last several years since I've known you, has really lived a life that goes against what a lot of people may have seen as agreeable or seen as something that they should be doing. And you've done so with such grace and such humility. What does living a courageous life and what is courage to you?
Thank you. Courage to me is feeling the fear and doing it anyway. That's been one of my main mottos over the last few years. And for me, living a courageous, authentic life means staying true to the way that I want to run my business, the way that I want to operate in the world, and the way that feels right for me from an intuitive perspective rather than necessarily from a logical perspective.
Oh, yes. So it's following your heart more than following your head, by the sound of things.
Yes, yeah, I definitely would say that. Yeah. And I don't always get it right, and I'm always dancing with it all, but I've just found over the years that when I really trust, yeah, you could say my heart, my intuition, my gut feeling, the feelings that can't be explained. When I followed them, amazing things have happened. And when I haven't followed those cues, then invariably things haven't worked out.
Yeah, because the theme of this topic of this conversation this season that I'm running here is how'd you get so lucky? Do you think that you've been lucky in what's happened to you? Has it been luck?
No. I mean, I
Tell me
think,
why.
yeah, well, I mean, firstly, I think that as a caveat, that of course I have been lucky in some ways because I was born into a family where I felt safe. I didn't suffer any major abuse when I was growing up. I always felt like I had a place where I could go that was safe, and lots of people don't have that, which doesn't mean obviously that they can't succeed, but I think that that has really helped, and that wasn't something that I had any say over. So I feel like that part of it was luck, like, or whatever you want to call it, but the home that I was brought into, the parents that I was born to, my circumstances, my privilege, so that part of it, yeah, is, you could say that is luck. But from a relatively young age, probably from when I had the decision to go to university and chose not to, while all around me everyone else was, and it didn't seem logical and it didn't seem to make any sense, and I didn't really have anything to go to. I just started working in a cafe. That decision started this chain of making decisions that felt right for me that didn't necessarily make sense to anyone else. And for some reason, I've been able to not be paralyzed by fear around these decisions, to trust, I guess, to trust that whatever happens, I will be supported, I will be okay. And some of that might have a lot to do with my upbringing, but yeah, I've always had this sense of, yeah, it's like it'll be all right. Whereas a lot of people that I speak to, with everything, with all the decisions that they're making, they seem to struggle with, well, if I do this, then what if this happens? And what if I lose everything? And what if I can't leave this job without anything else? Because what if I'm on the streets? And it's not that my mind doesn't go there, like it does, but I seem to have some kind of capacity for just being like, I'm just going to do it and take the path that doesn't seem to make any sense. Whether that's, like leaving my home or going places by myself or just kind of jumping into the unknown in lots of different ways.
Yeah. So has it always been that way, do you think? Like, obviously that choice at university, that almost sliding doors moment of had you followed the grain and gone when everybody else has gone to uni, if you would have gone to uni, do you think that's always been within you to kind of just follow like the free spirited, follow your own heart kind of vibe? Or is it something that you had to learn?
I think it was definitely instilled in me by my parents, and they were quite different as well. And they didn't necessarily follow the normal kind of way. And so growing up, we lived in a little village in England, and it was basically quite a conservative place. And yeah, my parents were quite different. So I definitely felt different. And then I think from a young age, I was encouraged to be adventurous, or not even encouraged, it was just the way that my parents were, so I just went with it. I mean, my mum tells me that they went backpacking with me and they hitchhiked through Europe when I was like 6 months old, so you know, they're just kind of like like that. So it was really the opposite of the opposite of helicopter parenting, I'd say. That kind of adventurous attitude. But then, I remember at school, I really desperately wanted to fit in. That was the most important thing to me at school, at high school and primary school as well. I just wanted to be popular. I wanted to have friends. And I never really was very popular, or I wasn't considered cool in any way. And at the time, that definitely was it. That's what I really wanted. So I definitely went through a period in my early years of really just doing everything I could to fit in. And then that led me into a relationship that I was in for like quite a few years from a very young age with someone older than me. And so through that time, I was very kind of shut down in lots of ways. And even though it still wasn't the traditional way, I didn't go to university. We actually ended up buying a house when I was 18. But the relationship itself was, very controlling, and I felt very stuck and very not in my power at all. So I think that it was always there. I forgot it for a while, but then as soon as I got out of that relationship, I think that gave me a lot of courage. So the relationship itself is actually a massive blessing, because from a young age it gave me the courage to get out of it, and because it was so bad, I think that I thought, well, nothing can be worse than this. So it gave me a lot of confidence, I think, early on. And then going traveling was a huge catalyst. I just left by myself one day, sort of almost on a whim, and just booked a one-way flight to Bangkok when I was 25. And from that moment on, I was able to, just follow my own intuition much more and lean more and more into that. So, I think I learned it, and then I unlearned it, and then learned it again.
Yeah, it's like you were educated that way with your parents. There was a rebellion, and the rebellion was conservative. You know, often a rebellion is, I'm going to go and I'm going to party and I'm going to not follow the path. For you, it was like you went through a phase where you became conservative and you got your white picket fence and you got your relationship. You did the prescribed, that was your rebellion, and then you found your way back into the intuitive path.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful thing. How have you found that people have been with you in your experience over the, in those 15 odd years since you took that one-way ticket to Bangkok? How do people experience you when it comes to your willingness to explore your intuition and flow, considering most people don't?
Such a good question. I mean, I think it depends on what context I'm meeting people in. So I think since I've been teaching yoga and working with people on this level of spirituality and teaching classes and being a kind of public figure in different ways across the board, even though, not having a huge following or anything like that, but just being at the front of something, being at the front of a class. And I've been teaching yoga in that way for 10 years. So I think in that, when people know me in that kind of context, I think I often get the feedback that, people feel inspired and they're interested in my story, and they feel inspired by the fact that maybe I wasn't always like this and I overcame these different challenges. So that's one part of it. And then in my more personal relationships, in romantic relationships in the past, I think that sometimes it's met with some kind of not being able to understand why I want to make certain decisions. It has been met with resistance because, I mean, just from a really basic perspective, if I'm deciding, if I feel like I need to leave, whether it's leave a country or leave a situation or leave a relationship, I would really do that and really follow that. And it might take me a while. I mean, in that first relationship, it did take me years and years to do that. But that's obviously, met with resistance. And I don't know, maybe other people, if they don't have such a strong experience of that, might be more likely to stay. I don't know if that's really
Because you
a
might
good
be,
answer.
the resistance that you, yeah, it's great. I think the resistance that you're speaking to there, if you are one, I don't think that you necessarily change things on a whim. It's not like, oh, whatever. There's not this float. It's not this floatiness. It's kind of like my heart's taking me somewhere, and logically, people wouldn't particularly understand that. But once that shift, once you've been given the guidance, you follow it. I would imagine that in personal relationships, be that romantic or otherwise, people could perceive that, or maybe you've gotten feedback, I'm not entirely sure, but if they're like, well, why aren't you sticking it out? Why aren't you staying? Why aren't you you're just running away, or you're commitment phobic? Have you had any of that kind of feedback across your life, do you think, when you followed your intuition, for people pushing back, not just resisting, but pushing back?
Definitely. I've definitely received that kind of messages and feedback. And I mean, in some cases it was probably true. I mean, I think when I left England, I didn't have a very healthy relationship with myself or my friends, or there was I did feel like things were in a mess. And I guess I did feel like even quite desperate when I left. So maybe that was running away. And yeah, I think that like definitely I've come across that over the years.
How has that matured for you, do you think? Like that this adventurous, beautiful, free-spirited kind of side that maybe in the early days was a little bit, had that level of desperation of I need to get out. How is that playing out now? Considering, you've been in business for, I mean, some of the hardest times in not in human history, but certainly in our history, you've have kept your yoga practice open and thriving for 5 years, and it's 2024. So that speaks that you just opened your business sort of in 2019. You just took that over. So there's some very, very tough times in business. I take it that there were times throughout there for you to be able to be as stable as what you have been for the last 5 years and serve the community like you so beautifully do. How has that that adventurous side of you being satiated, I suppose, and matured as you've gone along this journey of having to commit to bigger things.
Again, such a good question. And I think what's really coming up for me while you're speaking is this sense of purpose. And I think before I arrived in Batemans Bay, before I started the studio, before I started teaching yoga, and it was, quite a few years after I started teaching yoga that I arrived here in Batemans Bay. But pre doing my yoga teacher training, I did feel very directionless, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I did my yoga teacher training when I was 30, and before that, I felt like I didn't really have a purpose, and I knew that there was something else that I was supposed to be doing, but I had no idea what it was. And I felt like I wanted to help others and serve others and use my skills to enhance the lives of others. So I dabbled in working for different charities, different NGOs along the way, which was great, but it definitely wasn't satisfying what I wanted. It was working for organizations, and I just ended up feeling kind of frustrated, or it just wasn't for me. So then I was traveling, and I was doing lots of different jobs, and mostly working in hospitality and just lots of totally random things. But I knew that there was something in coming, like I knew that there was a way that I was supposed to be in service, but I just didn't know how or what or why. So I guess that led me to behave probably in ways that weren't very loving at times, and probably did result in lots of escapism and things like this. But then when I did my yoga teacher training and I started teaching yoga, I suddenly had an anchor. So that was anchoring me back to my sense of purpose and being able to serve. And I felt like my trust in the universe, if you want to call it that, in the great mystery and cosmic intelligence, my connection to the divine, to nature, to everything started to come back. And I think I'd lost that for quite a long time. So when that started to come back, I felt much more anchored in myself and able to see things out when they were difficult. And then when I came down, so I was teaching yoga in Sydney for 4 years, and I was managing a studio there, and that was for 4 years. So, that was quite a substantial amount of time as well. And then I definitely had a strong calling to not live in the city, to be out in nature. I hadn't even heard of Batemans Bay, but I just bought a van and started driving south and
Keep it a
ended up here.
secret. Don't tell anyone.
Well, actually, no, don't, because we want millions of people to come to the studio.
Everybody come. We do. We do.
But I found this place, and I just stumbled across it and just fell in love with the whole area. And this whole thing happened with the studio, and this opportunity came up, and I just felt like
What
I had to
happened? What
take
happened with the studio? You bought a van.
it.
You bought a van. You were traveling around. You left Sydney. What? How did you come across from like managing a studio in Sydney to now, suddenly owning your own and building something? How did that come about?
So, I mean, the first thing to say is like, I never, ever, ever wanted to own a studio. I'd managed the studio for 4 years. I'd seen kind of how hard work it was and the level of commitment it took. And I was actually quite against ever owning a studio. So when I left Sydney, my plan, that wasn't really a plan, I didn't have any plan, but I had a vague idea of like, I'm just going to drive around Australia, live in my van, so I have no expenses, maybe teach the odd yoga class or workshop or training along the way. So when I started driving south, the first thing that happened was a woman called Renee, who'd been one of my students in Sydney. She just called me up and she said, "Oh, I heard that you're going south. My parents have a house in Long Beach. They're going away for 3 months. Like, do you want a house sit it?" And so I thought, wow, that's an amazing opportunity. It sounds too good to be true. And so I said yes. And I wasn't planning to stay for the whole 3 months. I said, yeah, like I'll just go for a couple of weeks. Thank you so much. And so then as I was making my way down south, I did email, reach out to a bunch of yoga studios, like from Sydney to where we are now. I taught some workshops in Milton, things like this. And I sent out a couple of messages to Danny, who owned Soul Tribe at the time. So she'd created Soul Tribe just a few months earlier, renovated the building, done all the hard work. And yeah, I noticed that there was a studio down there, and I said, can I teach workshop there? She said yes. And so when I first got to Soul Tribe, yeah, I thought, oh, like, it's a really beautiful space. But it just didn't, there wasn't any consistency there. There wasn't any system. There wasn't, like, yeah, it was just, it was, I guess it was just being, it wasn't necessarily consistent at all. So I just thought, oh, that's interesting, but I didn't really think anything of it. Taught the workshop, met Danny, who's beautiful, and that was it, and thought I'll just keep traveling. Loved the area, but I didn't think I'd stay here. And then one of my friends was, she said, oh, I'm going to Peru, I'm going to the jungle, I'm gonna work with plants. And so, and she was, and she didn't say, do you want to come? But I just suddenly had this big, like, visceral reaction, like, oh, I really want to come, like, can I come? And she was well, maybe, but I've been working with this shaman for like months. It's kind of like a big process, and we're going really soon, and I don't know if they'll take you, but we can just ask. And so, yeah, I did. I spoke to Jorge, who's, you know, my teacher now, and yeah, he said yes. And so then I was off to Peru. So I just gave my band to someone for a little while. Yeah. And so I went to Peru, and I was in Peru for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. I was in the jungle for 2 weeks, working with ayahuasca. And yeah, just had an incredible time. But while I was there in the jungle, so no phone reception, no electricity, anything. And it, you know, it was a very deep, challenge, very challenging but amazing experience. But at some stage, Jorge, who was our guide, asked me, well, you know, what do you want? And I thought, well, that's, I've never known what I want, like, that's the problem. And
that's
so
been a $164 million question.
And I felt like I never really known, I'd never really known how to answer that question. I mean, I kind of still don't, but I did have this feeling like, oh, well, there is this place called Bateman's Bay, like, I've stumbled across it, I really love it, it's beautiful, I love the land there. What I want is to put some roots down there, to build a community, to be part of a community, because I think I'd traveled a lot in my life up to that point, and I think I thought I wanted to travel around Australia, but I think I actually just needed to ground in somewhere. So that I set that intention, and to be able to make a sustainable living doing what I love, that was my intention. And then, as soon as I got out of the jungle and I got back to Lima Airport, the very first message that came through, I've still got the messenger message, which is pretty cool. I can screenshot it maybe and send it to you, but it was from Danny, who's this, she created the studio as it was, and she messaged me saying, I can't do it anymore, like, I've closed the studio, it's not for me to keep running it, I can't, I've got too much family stuff going on. She said, do you want to manage the studio? So she didn't say, do you want to buy the studio, or do you want to own the studio? And I think that if she had done, even though it was such a clear sign, because that was the intention that I'd set, and here it was, I probably would have said no, because I was still very much in that mindset of, like, I don't want anything permanent. I don't want to own a studio. Like, it's not where I'm at. I still had that very, like, I want to be very free and easy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but she said to manage it, and I was like, oh, I can do that. I've just managed a studio for 4 years. Easy. And I just said yes. And then we didn't really have a big conversation about it or anything. And I got back to Bateman's Bay and we met, and then she basically just said, okay, great, here's the keys, this is when the rent's due, this is how you pay the rent, bye. And I was like, what? Yeah, because I thought she meant, you know, excuse, like, me, hire me to manage it and pay me to manage it, but that is not what she meant at all. I think that any sane person probably at that point would have said, like, oh no, wait, like, this is not what I signed up for, this is crazy. But because I don't know, I just like, okay, I just rolled with it, and I was like, oh, all right.
You had just spent 3 weeks in the jungle with a shaman, you know, journeying with plant medicine. I suppose it would be so absurd, like, at that point in time that you were handed a solution, or, you know,
Yeah, 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 So she just sort of left, and I was at that stage just managing. I hadn't bought the business or anything like that. It was like she still owned it, and I was just like running the whole thing. But yeah, there was definitely nothing. There was like no wages or anything like that. The studio had been closed for a little bit, so there was no one around. It even got a bad reputation just for being so inconsistent. Like there wasn't a timetable, there wasn't an email list, there wasn't any internet in the building. There it was like an internet black spot. There was no FPOS machine. There wasn't like nothing. There was nothing at all. There was nothing.
Yeah, just bare bones. You've got a structure
yeah,
and
it
that's
was a
it.
beautiful space, props, but that was it. So I was just like, okay. I was sort of living in my van at that stage in the car park, and then I was renting this other room for a bit, and also sort of trying to work out this other relationship that was kind of on off with somebody who was, yeah, just very, it was very, very challenging, the whole thing, managing that. And then, yeah, but I just felt kind of driven, I guess, by some force. I had no idea how I was going to pay the rent because I had no money. We had no teachers, but I just thought, okay, well, I'm just going to put a timetable up, like get mind body, just do what I did in Sydney. And I just worked my ass off, basically. I just pounded the streets, like flyers everywhere, posters, social media, like we're here, we're here, we're
Come to
here, we're not
yoga, come to
closing, we're
yoga, come to
here.
yoga.
Yeah, we're open every day, like we never close. This is a timetable. And yeah, slowly but surely it started to work, and a lot of it, it's word of mouth. And so people would come to my classes, go, oh, actually, she's actually a really good teacher, and oh, they actually are open. And I went to the class, and oh, it was actually, and they started to tell their friends and bring their friends. And but for ages I would show up, I'd be teaching 6 a.m. classes there, and for months no one turned up. And I think the first time someone turned up, I was like, what are you doing here? And then I was like, oh yeah, you're here for your classes.
Well, that
It
takes
took a
an
little while.
incredible amount of, it takes an incredible amount of determination, an incredible amount of resilience to show up 6 a.m., still be on the timetable, to commit to it, to have the consistency and have three, like several months where no one's there. How did you stay focused? How did you stay committed to the cause? Because I know there's going to be a lot of people who are listening and watching this podcast who want to go out on their own. And that's probably one of their biggest fears. Like, holy shit, what if it doesn't work? Because we get these promises, right? I see this in the social media world all the time. Like, transform your life in 3 months' time, have $100,000 in the bank kind of vibe. That's not what happened, and often not what happens to
No.
most of us. How did you stay the course mentally and spiritually and emotionally in those 3 months or those kind of months where you were doing all the work but not seeing any of the results?
I mean, it was hard, but
Thank you.
I just, I don't know, like I think that I just knew 100%, like with the studio, I knew that the consistency was the most important thing. And I wanted to create something that I would want to go and visit, like a studio that had consistent classes. And I knew that 6 a.m., I used to love practicing at 6 a.m. So I wanted to offer that time slot. And I think I just didn't. I mean, that's not very helpful, but I was just committed. Like I just wasn't going to give up. And I mean, also, like, what else was I going to do? I mean, I loved the area so much. There wasn't a yoga studio there. I was like, and the people that were still like were coming to classes, like, just loved it so much. And I just had faith. And I think actually someone told me early on, which did help a lot, because it was hard, like I was crying all the time and going through, like, yeah, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, like all the time, being like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, how am I gonna get even this money together? Like,
Doing,
in so much, so like stressed. And but then every morning I'd wake up and I'd be like, I can do it, like it's good. And it didn't really bother me that people didn't come at first, because I was just in the space and I was just doing my own practice. And yeah, I guess I just knew, probably from teaching yoga in Sydney. I knew from managing the studio, even when you put on a new class or whatever, it's like I knew that it was a slow burn. I just knew that. And Matt, my teacher in Sydney and who I ran the studio with, he was like, it was so helpful that I had that because if I hadn't had that 4 years managing the studio, I probably wouldn't have done it. I probably wouldn't have been able to, or I probably would have given up a long time ago. But I think as I'd seen the yoga studio world from the inside, I just knew that it was a slow burn, and I knew that you had to just be consistent. And that's what he drilled into me as well. Like, you just show up and you teach, like, no matter what. Which is a bit like
so
tough
powerful
love.
Powerful about that.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously
and
it's like,
so powerful, like,
well, you know, obviously it's like, we've all got to look after ourselves. And of course, like, rest is important and honoring our boundaries is important. But I do think that we've sort of slipped into this thing recently of like, it, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, I just won't show up to the thing today because I'm not feeling it, or like the energy's not there, or, and I'm not trying to dismiss that, because that is also intuitive, but it's a very, like, very, very, like, slippery slope, I think. And it's a very fine line, and it's so nuanced, so it's hard to kind of pin it down. But I think that it's like, if you're going to do something and you've, I mean, if you've committed to like a weekly spot of something, my personal opinion on that is like, if you've committed to it, you do it. And so I would just show up and teach and show up and teach, or and show up when no one's there. Sometimes I show up in tears, like, just had a massive argument with my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. But that was really, really important to me. Like, that consistency was everything. And it still is, you know, if, like, in 5 years, we've never, there's been a couple of times where a teacher hasn't showed up or something like that. But I will get someone to teach. Like, if I have to pull someone off the street, you know, hopefully they've got some kind of idea about yoga. But it's like, it's just like, we don't cancel classes. It's just like, and you know, people run their businesses in so many different ways, but I, you know, I do see a lot of people going, oh yeah, like, I tried it and people didn't show up, so I've given up, you know, after a few weeks, or
so I gave up.
Yeah, or like, oh, just I didn't feel like teaching, I had to cancel the class. It's like, no, you don't. Like, I just personally don't think that is ever going to work.
Because how do we build trust if we don't have consistency, right? Like, if we're not consistently showing up, people don't know they can rely upon you. And I think that the two words that you have said kind of on repeat have been consistency and commitment. Mm. If you want to live a life of your dreams, and even though you didn't necessarily think that running a yoga studio, you certainly was the antithesis, you didn't want to do that, right? You didn't want to have that.
No.
But to live a life on your terms, people have this idea that it's just easy. You know, when we're at the beach at midday on a Friday afternoon having a good time, there's this perception that, oh my God, you live such a good life, it's so free and easy. And it's like, well, yes, there is that element. That is true. I do get to go to the beach on my own terms, maybe on a Friday afternoon or on a Monday morning for that matter, or whatever. I do get to do that. But that's because of the discipline. That's because of the commitment. That's because of the consistency.
Yeah,
and I think
100%.
That you probably agree that even in the practice of yoga itself, people sit there and go, I want to be able to do a headstand. I want to do inversions. I want to be able to do a handstand. I want to be able to, you know, people would often, and I'm so curious to know your thoughts on this. My mum's one of those people. She's like, oh, I can't do yoga. I'm not flexible. And what I say to her, I'm like, that's why you go to yoga.
Yeah,
if you want to be able to do those things, you can't expect to rock up on the first day or even the 100th day or the 500th day and be able to do things that someone's only accomplished from doing it for years on end. What has yoga taught you about discipline, about consistency, about commitment, do you think?
Just before I answer that question, I do just want to circle back, because I realized that I said, oh, someone said something to me that was really helpful, and then I went on another story and I didn't say what that was. So in the early days, someone said, with the business, you know, when people are coming in and, you know, like, how are you? Like, yeah, like, I'm great. Like, you know, it's hard, but I'm great and blah, blah, blah. But someone said, in business, you've got to give it 2 years. And they just said, for the first 2 years, you've just got to accept that. You know, you're definitely not going to make money. Like, if you break even in 2 years, that is like killing it, amazing. But you'll you know, it's going to be really tough for 2 years, is basically what they said. I mean, we didn't know that all that COVID stuff was going to happen. That's a whole other story. But But there was so much truth in that. So I just kept telling myself that, I just give it 2 years. So I didn't get caught up on like the day-to-day numbers, or I honestly, I don't know if this is probably avoidance or whatever. It's, I'm not saying, I'm definitely not a financial advisor, so don't take my advice about any of it, but I just ignored it. I just didn't look at my bank account. I just didn't look at the figures. I was just like, just give it 2 years to stay focused and keep going. And then, you know, we had a few things that like boosted, like then Christmas came and like loads of tourists came down and that kind of boosted it. So I was like, oh, great. Okay. Like, so you definitely need like little,
I can pay the rent.
it wasn't like no one was coming for 3 months. It was just, you know, those early classes, yeah, no one was coming for a long time, but people were
Other
coming
classes.
in. But so I was getting like a little bit of like, oh, yeah. And then that would be enough to keep sustaining me. But yoga definitely taught me the discipline to, yeah, to just to keep showing up. I mean, when I first started practicing yoga, it was in Byron and I was backpacking and I went to this class and everything was so, I found everything so challenging, so difficult. I felt like I was the worst person at yoga in the whole world, in the whole room. I was so unfit. I couldn't do anything. I felt like I just felt exhausted by it, and it was like, it was so hard, even just every all of it. And then I remember someone next to me like floating up into a headstand, and I was like, what? Like, what the hell? How is anyone even doing that? Whereas I, you know, I was struggling to even like put my foot through. And so yeah, I found it really challenging. And then, but I stuck with it because I felt like for the first time people were talking about things like energy and breath and all of these things that I knew existed, but I'd never heard the language. Like, I hadn't been exposed to yoga at all. Like, I had no idea what it was. I had no background in it whatsoever. Because even though my parents are like relatively alternative, you could say, but they're also very scientific and logical, and they lived a different life. But I didn't, it wasn't like I grew up in this kind of spiritual way at all. Like, I think that they are very spiritual in their own way, even though they probably wouldn't say that. But it was very like logic, science based. So I had no idea what it was, and I just thought, I thought it was like stretching, and I didn't even want to go to the class, but one of my friends dragged me along, and I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, it sounds boring, but but I went to this class, and something just struck me about the teacher. And you know, we got to lie down at the end, and I just loved, I loved the
Oh,
language, so I kept with it. Yes,
Shavasana,
I know. So even then in Byron, like, that was the first taste of it, because I wanted to do the practice, but then I was also partying every single night. So like, I was always like up till 3 a.m. I was always like texting my yoga teacher at 3 a.m. from the club, being like, I'm not going to be able to make it in the morning. So I was a pretty terrible student, but then, so I knew that something had to give, and I loved it so much that something drove me to commit. And actually, headstand is a funny example, because she was really big on doing headstands, and it's not always something that's taught. And I mean, it's, headstand isn't yoga, it's just like, it's, it has nothing to do with it really. But yeah,
It's just a posture.
she was determined to teach me headstand, and I was like, there's no way that I can do that. Like, I can't. But we did, we practiced it every day. And then, you know, it took a long time, but it was probably like a year later, and I'd left Byron by that point. Then I was able to do it, and I was like, oh my God, like, I never ever ever thought that I'd do that. And that happened with lots of the physical parts of yoga. And at first for me, yoga, like, it was
Practices,
a very physical practice. I mean, I could suddenly like hold a plank, and I'd never been able to hold a plank in my life, or I could suddenly push up into a wheel or something like that. And I'd always considered myself like not sporty, not athletic, not coordinated at all. Like, I was like the kind of nerd at school, like reading the book. Like, I was shit at sports, and like, I didn't feel like I had any kind of physical connection to my body, or I just didn't think I was like a physically
Intelligence
able
almost.
person. Yeah. So, but then
And so
I
if I
started
can
doing
just
yoga
give everyone
more.
some context here, I'd love to give everyone some context here because I think this is really important because there again there is this the message that you said about give it 2 years. I think that people when they go down this path of any kind of new endeavor, be that moving from maybe a body that isn't as physically intelligent to maybe a body that can do handstands or wheels or that kind of stuff, or even just I'm a free spirit moving into maybe becoming a business owner, there is a time frame where I think that people in society expect it to happen too damn quickly. Like, give it 2 years. I would think that in any kind of even lifestyle change, I see people who, want to get in shape. For you, doing a headstand took you, maybe months and years, and even now, when I see you, Claire, and I'm like, it's hard for me to even imagine a time where you weren't able to do that and have the level of strength that you are right now. But that's because you've been doing it for a decade, right?
Exactly. Yeah, 100% I agree with that.
Extenuation. You've committed to it for that long.
Yes, definitely.
And so
Definitely. And I think,
it just goes to show.
yeah, for sure. And I think with yoga, it was different for me because the intention was different. And so, like, in the past, before I started on my yoga journey, I'd always had this idea of, like, obviously, like, I wanted to look good, basically. So I wanted to
Yeah,
exercise
of
so that
course.
I like looked good in clothes, but it was always about like weight loss or fitting into the jeans or whatever. So I'd do things for a little bit and I hated it. Like I'd go to the gym maybe for a tiny bit, didn't like it at all because or go like try and run, hated it, gave up, felt even worse about myself. But I think that
Because your
because I was
motivation wasn't there, it was just the
exactly and
physical.
I was focused on like I want to be thin. And obviously you go for a run and if weight loss is your main goal, which is totally fine, you're not just going to go on like one run and then, oh, I'm thin. So it take like you're saying, it
That's
takes
right.
that discipline. And so, but as soon as the motivation changed for me, and then I realized that, I mean, I realized from very, very early on, even though my practice was mainly physical, but I realized that yoga was actually about how I felt, like emotionally, how I felt. And so because it was the intention changed and I was doing it because it made me feel good. So then that kind of was like instant gratification because I'd do a yoga class and I'd feel good. So I was like, this is great, rather than like I'm doing it to lose weight. And then so the consistency is really important, but it's also like what's the intention and how committed was I to that intention? Because I when it was like I want to lose weight, I'd I thought I did, but probably didn't really care that much. Even though I thought that I really did. But yeah,
It
so
sounds
that
like
was
your measure of success changed too.
Yeah,
Like your
yeah.
measure of success from the days of running, of going to the gym to try to lose weight, that means that you have to wait until some kind of result, and the only reason why you're doing it is to get the result. Whereas
Yeah,
what I'm hearing
exactly.
is that with yoga for you, Claire, every time you showed up to a yoga class and you were there, irrelevant of how well you quote performed, you were succeeding every time you showed up because
Exactly.
it was the practice, not the outcome.
That's exactly it. And that's the whole thing that I love so much about yoga. It's not competitive. It's actually not outcome based. And the whole thing about yoga, the whole primary message that's in the Bhagavad Gita and in the ancient texts is let go of attachment to the fruits of the action. Let go of attachments to the fruits. So it's like act. And that's what happened with the studio. I wasn't actually attached to anything really. I mean, I had no idea if it was going to work out or not
The
because
result was.
if I'd been sitting in Sydney saying like I'm going to go to Bateman's Bay, I'm going to get a yoga studio, 5 year plan, in 5 years it's going to be this successful, make this much money. If I'd been sitting in Sydney doing that, I actually don't think it would have worked at all. But because I was just like went with it, I was like, oh, I'm doing this now. Oh, okay. I actually didn't think forward really at all. And so I didn't have any
There's no
attachment to it
forcing.
working out. Yeah, and I always thought if it doesn't work, like whatever, I'll just go to Mexico. I always used to say that. I don't know why, but I was like, I wasn't, it. And I'm again, like you could call it luck, or it's not really luck. I guess it's a choice as well. But I didn't have children. I mean, I still don't have my own children, so I was fine. I knew that I could live on like nothing. I knew I'd lived in my van, lived on carrots. Like I knew that I would be fine. So. Yeah, so that
Little
letting
bit
go
of
of
luck.
attachment to the results, I think, is really, really important.
Okay, so we had a little bit of technical difficulty there. I know for you, Claire, you were talking about how the practices of yoga have taught you so many beautiful lessons in your life, so much less than the physical. What you had just so much more than the physical is what I mean to say. There is a closing tradition that we are having on this series of How'd You Get So Lucky, and it's five words that sum up for you, maybe wisdom, maybe there could be in a sequence, it could be a sentence. I feel like you kind of just said them in what we just said. I counted them as you were saying this beautiful thing. And if it's not the ones that you choose, I am going to put them in the pot as well. But what are five words that you would have to sum up our conversation here today and all of what we're here to do?
non-attachment to the fruits of the action. Is that five words?
Yes,
That's not
that's
five
right.
words.
I'm so glad. Non-attachment we could count as one. Non-attachment to the fruits. We could even go not like non-attachment to the fruits.
Yeah,
that's five.
Great.
I think that it's so profound and a huge lesson on when we are pursuing a life that's on our terms, then to not chase the outcome, but be in the present moment. I think it's a beautiful thing. Claire, how do we find you? If we want to connect, if we want to do yoga, if we want to get your beautiful wisdom, what do you have on offer? What services do you have that we can connect with?
Thank you. So I have a physical studio space called Soul Tribe Studio in Batemans Bay. So soultribestudio.com.au. You can find us on Instagram where I share a lot of little practices, lots of words of wisdom, lots of writing. So Soul Tribe Studio is the Instagram. We also have a Facebook page, Soul Tribe Studio. You can sign up for our newsletter, and I do a lot of writing. So there's a story that comes out every 2 weeks. We have an online studio as well. So if you're not in Batemans Bay, you can join our online studio, which is pre-recorded classes. And
fabulous.
I run lots of different workshops and teacher training. So I've got a yin yoga immersion coming up in February. It's over 2 weekends. So that's all on the website. I'm also really into human design. So I do human design readings on Zoom, which you can book in on the website. I'm running a human design course, which is online and in person at the studio starting in February.
Wow.
I've got a 200-hour teacher training starting. I've got a retreat in Bali happening first week of June.
Fantastic.
So there's a lot. There's a lot happening. Yeah. So many, many ways. So in person, in
Batemans
Bay, in Bali, online. Yes.
Yep.
Human design.
Yep.
Yeah.
And for anyone that's traveling, you know, if you're, it doesn't matter where you're coming from, but if you're Sydney, Canberra, if you live in Melbourne, if there's anyone who's around who is traveling to this area, south coast of New South Wales, come and check it out. Even if you don't know if yoga is your thing, Claire's studio is. That's just the truth of the matter. I met Claire through her studio, and I've met the vast majority of the people that I've met here who I love and adore are through the community to which Claire has created. So even if you want to come on and do a beautiful yin class, which is you lying down in the discomfort of holding postures and stuff like that, I highly recommend going and checking out Claire's work, being led by Claire in teacher training or retreats, any space that you can come and hang out with Claire Lovelace of Soul Tribe Studio. I cannot recommend her yoga and her teachings highly enough. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast here today, Claire. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure. I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
You're so welcome. You can find all the details to catch up with Claire in the show notes. And we look forward to seeing you next time. See ya. Thank you so much for listening to the More Confidence with Luna Gaia podcast. I hope you feel more confident, more self-assured, and ready to go tackle the world's problems and maybe kick ass in some of your dreams. If you haven't already, I would love for you to like and subscribe, follow, and maybe leave a review so that other people know how to find this awesome podcast too. If you're wanting to sink your teeth into something even more juicy, my number one best-selling book, Perfectly Imperfect, Your Complete Guide to Loving Yourself and Loving Your Body, is now available on all good bookstore sites, both in print, digital, and I narrated it for Audible as well. If you think that coaching or maybe one of my courses is for you, why not head to www.moreconfidence.com.au and get in touch and see if we can talk. And of course, you can find me all across the social medias. That's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, which is where you're probably listening now, or maybe even here on the podcast platform. Sending you big love and wishing you a beautiful day.